Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Fast 2 Hours in Talk Radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Fukushima irradiated sunny slave island paradise of New Zealand, where it's run by an enormous knob named John Key. He's just such a corrupt scumbag that I can't believe it. I just see the country dissolving like a human body chucked into a vat of fluoridated acid. It's just so disgusting. Not unlike the council chambers. And my very special guest, who has frequented the council chambers many times and has yet to be corrupted and tainted by its extraordinary filth, is Penny Bright. Penny, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinnie.
People think that I exaggerate. I'm sorry, I don't. This is not...
I've told you a million times not to exaggerate.
I the funny thing is, you can exaggerate even and not have the evidence for it, and then people will start digging, and then it'll be even worse as your exaggeration would ever claim.
Yeah, sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction, that's for sure, and we're finding a lot of that right now. Yeah.
Mark Twain once said that fiction is really difficult to write because fiction has to make sense, whereas non-fiction is very easy because it doesn't have to.
Well, the reason why I was, just a little bit late getting organised for today's show, I've just sent off an Official Information Act request from hell to New Zealand's Minister of Economic Development, Stephen Joyce. And I'm asking, why are you continuing with the International Convention Centre, the Sky City Money Laundering Bill? Because today, Wednesday the 6th of November, New Zealand Parliament is in session, and the first item up on the order paper is the New Zealand Convention, the International Convention Centre Bill. And this, for people who don't know much about it, was a deal done over the phone and over dinner, basically between the Prime Minister of our country and the top-level people from Sky City. And the concept was that Sky City would build a convention centre, which, of course, is privately owned and they make the money out of. And what would happen is that they would get a deal, they would get more pokie machines, etc., and they've been trying to minimise the effect. The only thing that people are talking about is the effect on problem gamblers. But
I think this really funny is because it seems as though our Prime Minister is a problem gambler, and if anybody would know about gambling, it'd be him, considering he was a derivatives trader, which the New York State Legislature tried to get involved to regulate when derivatives were first postulated after the removal of the Glass-Steagall Act.
Well, that's exactly right, and at that pivotal point in time, November 1999, when the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed under President Clinton. For people who don't know the Glass-Steagall Act from their elbow, what it was an act, I think it was back to 1933, and it sort of put a giant concrete wall in between boring, safe commercial banking and risky, dangerous investment banking. And there'd been huge pressure and lobbying from the banksters and their mates and they'd been chipping away at this concrete wall. And what happened was in November 1999, the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed, the effect of which was to make the market for derivatives completely without regulation. Well, we all know how that worked out, which was that's the reason for the global financial meltdown. But at that particular point in time, November 1999, where was now New Zealand Prime Minister John Key? He was on the New York Federal Reserve, and he was the head of derivatives for Merrill Lynch. So what role did he play in the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act? And that people that think he knows what he's doing, I beg to differ.
They're correct. He knows exactly what he's doing in a criminal way.
Well, the thing is that, who is benefiting? And thank you, Vinnie. I did end up reading your book, An Economic Hitman. And, my considered opinion, that's exactly what John Key is. He's an economic hitman. He's working on behalf of
That's what John Perkins said. I told John Perkins who John Key was and what his background is, and the author of the book himself says, yep, he's an economic hitman.
Well, that's that's the thing. I mean, is John Key, who's been the most spin-doctored prime minister that I've been aware of, you know, they try to make him sort of ordinary, you know, folksy, blokesy sort of guy, when in actual fact, he's basically a Wall Street bankster from the highest levels. He's still a shareholder in the Bank of America, which would be illegal in any countries like Australia, which actually pay a bit more attention to anti-corrupt practices. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's a really big deal. Whose interest is he working in for? Mum and Dad New Zealanders or overseas investors and banksters? Not very complicated, really.
And I don't think the new leader of the opposition would wind up being any different, either Harvard-educated, lives in Herne Bay as opposed to his electorate, just the same as John Key, lives in Parnell instead of Helensville. There's the same guy.
Well, the thing is that my firm belief is where the people lead, the politicians will follow, and you cannot rely on the unreliable. And so if you really want meaningful change, it is the public that have got to come forward with a very, very clear demands and make a hell of a fuss about it and take what action they can to force the politicians to do what we want, because they won't do it voluntarily. Anyway,
they never tend to. It's only once you hold their feet to the fire. And this is why I admire you above pretty much all other activists in New Zealand, is that you keep sticking to your guns and sticking the knife in their ribs when they're not looking and throwing a spanner in the works. And you're just relentless. You're like this. Like, Penny is like the embodiment of the mosquito factor. You know how everybody says one person can't make a difference or anything like that? Lock yourself in a room with a mosquito, see how that works out for you.
Well, the thing is that what I've learned in life as an activist, and it took me a long time to work this one out, but it's not the breadth of the stand that makes the difference. I mean, you can have hundreds of thousands of people who sign a petition and they wipe their backsides with it, but when you get one person who refuses to pay their rates, or you take action which cannot be ignored, and you don't need a cast of thousands, and so it's not the breadth of the action, it's the depth, in my view. And I'd like to give full credit to my fellow politically savvy, stroppy woman mate, Jax Taylor. She and I, we put the had a new banner up outside TVNZ yesterday, Television New Zealand, just over the road from Sky City, so we had that as the backdrop, and the new banner had pictures of John Key, Minister of Economic Development Stephen Joyce, and Auckland Mayor Len Brown, and the wording on this bright fluoro yellow banner in big black writing was, "Friends of Sky City, money launderers and organised criminals? ? And then people can find more details on my website, so I put that up there as well. www.pennybright4mayor.org.nz, and you can see some dynamite information up there. And I'd just like to go through that with people, because honestly, as you would say, but I'll say it more politely, you couldn't make this stuff up. Okay, so
let's go through it, Penny. I mean, I'm just dying, salivating, chomping at the bit. But just before we do, did you see the picture I released of John Key on Facebook this morning?
A very quick look, yes. Well, I really think that this government is so vulnerable on issues of white collar crime, corruption, and corporate welfare. And those of us who, as you say, have been quite unrelenting in exposing the facts and evidence which proves just how vulnerable they are on this, we are getting such traction. And, I mean, just the recent Auckland mayoral campaign, where I got fourth with 11,723 votes, we'll compare that with less than 2 years ago, in November 2011, when I stood against now the defendant, John Banks in Epsom, and got 128 votes. People are getting up. That's quite a big jump.
Yeah. Can we actually see a shift in support for this person? Because I don't know about you, but my approach is to tell the truth about John Key as often as possible and as loud as possible and hang him with the truth.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, let's, just get the facts out to people and let them work it out for themselves, because there is so much spin out there. But, people are, in my view, really starting to get it. So there's a very clear action plan up on my website there against white-collar crime, corruption and corporate welfare. And if people have a look, these issues are generic. They are internationally relevant. It's only one page, but it gives a framework for genuine transparency. And this is how you need to clip the wings of the 1% by having clear demands and legislative change, which, makes it harder for them to do what they want, which is looking after themselves and trampling over us.
Mm. Indeed. There's a substantial quantity of trampling happening all the time, in fact. You've heard of this rushing things through under urgency? And in fact, I can barely recall a single bill that hasn't been rushed through urgency.
Well, as far as democracy is concerned, rushing to judgment on things, same with courts, rushing to judgment, especially when you haven't done your homework, is absolutely outrageous. And what gets me with this International Convention Centre bill is that it's at the committee stage in Parliament today, and so it is going through. But, it seems to me that, like me and Jax, we're the only ones who've been making a fuss about the increased risk of money laundering, because it's not exactly rocket science to know that casinos are a major source of money laundering, and how one of the ways that they do it, it's called TITO, T-I-T-O, ticket in, ticket out technology. So you take your dirty drug money, you take it to one of these machines in the casino, and you get a ticket. You put your ticket back in the machine, and you get clean money the other side. Well, good grief. If we are setting up, if there is going to be effectively a money laundering factory set up in the heart of Auckland, wouldn't you think that would raise the risk of more organised crime and more organised criminals if there's somewhere where they can really neatly go and turn their dirty money into clean money? Wouldn't you think?
Well, I think John Banks could have benefited from such a practice. He wouldn't be in the mess he's in now.
But the thing is, let me go through this with you, okay? I did this official information request from HEL to OFCANS. Now, who are they? OFCANS, that's the acronym for Organised and Financial Crime Agency New Zealand. Now, OFCANS are supposed to be the lead agency who are fighting against money laundering in New Zealand, okay? So wouldn't you expect them to know something about it? So on the 13th of August, I got a reply. Thank you for your email request that includes the following. I requested copies of any information OFCANS has provided for the New Zealand International Convention Centre bill or any other related regulatory impact report or statement or to Cabinet regarding the increased risk of money laundering. And this was the reply. OFCANS has not supplied any information on this issue, nor do we hold such information. The request is therefore refused on the basis that the information requested is not held by OFCANS pursuant to Section 18G of the Official Information Act 1982. Good grief. It gets worse. Then I requested information which confirms that the view of OFCANS on the increased risk of money laundering was sought by any of the following parties: the Department of Internal Affairs, the Ministry of Economic Development, Sky City, the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet, the Office of the Prime Minister, Cabinet, any Cabinet Minister, in particular Stephen Joyce. And the answer was, OFCANS did not receive any request from the above. The request is therefore refused on the basis, blah, 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 that they don't hold any information. So not only did the parties who should have known that OFCANS were the ones that you went to do due diligence on money laundering, they didn't ask OFCANS, but by the same token, OFCANS didn't say, yoo-hoo, remember us, we do money laundering, anything you'd like to ask us? You can't. How is that anything but unbelievable. And it gets even worse. Sit down, calm yourselves, people. Okay, I'm also interested in any information held by Ofcans on how Tito tickets in, tickets out can be used for money laundering at casinos. Are you seated? Answer. Ofcans hold no information on this matter. The request is therefore refused, blah, blah, blee, blee. Hello? Tito, tickets in, tickets out is the major mechanism for money laundering and Ofcans hold no information about it. Last but not least, I requested all or any information held by Ofcans which raises concerns about the potential increase in organised crime as a result of potentially increased money laundering opportunities through the proposed New Zealand International Convention Centre bill. Ofcans holds no information on this matter.
That's an unbelievable thing. So let me get this straight. It's the what's their job? To organise financial crimes or organise money laundering? Is that the name of their organisation? We organise money laundering and serious fraud and crime in this country? Because that seems to be what they're doing. We'll be right back after the break. This is thenewsshow.com. Penny Boyd is my guest. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As Jimi Hendrix would say, there must be some kind of way out of here. And as I would say, said John Key to the truth. He's always trying to wriggle out of the truth, isn't he? But we know who you are, Mr. Key. We know what you are. Don't freaking try and BS us, man. We're on to you. We're exposing you. All day, every day. Like a monkey on your back, like a pimple that you can't reach. That's right. We'll be right here, just ready to pop. And my very special guest, who's going to lance the boil of John Key, is Penny Pryde.
Ah, oh, just heating up the needle with a live flame. No. Anyway, what we were talking about before the break was the role of Ofcans, the New Zealand Organised Financial Crime Agency of New Zealand, and on their website it states, Ofcans will combat organised crime through, quote, leading, coordinating, or contributing to policy or legislative changes to make it harder for organised criminals to operate. There were opportunities.
How's the government going to work then?
There will be opportunities to do so by, for example, making it harder to launder money or obtain false identities or by increasing information sharing. Good grief. So, in actual fact, they've done the complete opposite. Because we have a legislative change happening right now with the International Convention Centre bill, which gives increased opportunity for money laundering by Sky City or at Sky City, and Ofcans are doing big, fat, diddly squat, and they've admitted it. So, give me a break. But what else you need to know about this one is that on the 24th of October this year, I sent an open letter, official information at request to New Zealand Prime Minister John Key, and have asked directly, why have you not ensured that due diligence was carried out over the increased risk of money laundering with the International Convention Centre Sky City Bill, dear Prime Minister? As an anti-corruption campaigner and a 2013 Auckland mayoral candidate, I am deeply concerned at the apparent lack of due diligence by yourself, as Prime Minister of New Zealand, perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, regarding the increased risk of money laundering arising from the International Convention Centre Sky City deal bill. Please provide all information which confirms why you failed to do due diligence and consult the lead agency, Ofcans, who has the responsibility for making it harder to launder money. And then I sent him a copy of the official information at request I'd sent to Ofcans, plus their reply, and I've had acknowledgement that they've received this Official Information Act request. Yes, but I haven't yet had the response. Let me guess.
You'll wind up getting a response after the legislation's passed.
Well, what concerns me is that, they certainly are pushing ahead with this legislation, because what happened was I went through the parliamentary process of making submissions on this International Convention Centre bill, and I wanted that Ofcan's reply so I could make it available, but I didn't get it in time for my submission. So I have since sent out to all MPs copies of the Ofcan's reply. And what really concerns me as well, Vinny, is there is not one political party that I know of so far in the House, opposition, that have actually picked up this money laundering question. They talk about problem gamblers, and here's the hoot. Sky City apparently are going to be using increased technology which enables facial recognition of problem gamblers while they give complete anonymity to money launderers and organised criminals. How does that work?
So they face scan the money launderers and go, he checks out. And then they face
no, they don't.
And then they face scan the money launderers and go, wait, no, this guy's going to spend all his money here. No, well, let's turn him away.
Yeah, well, it's in terms of the contradictions. Like yesterday, the telecommunications interception communications security bill, TICS bill, went through Parliament. And so on the one hand, what you've got with this New Zealand government is, and they're not the only ones, is the increased violation of ordinary people's rights to privacy, and yet you've got they're completely ignoring and giving the green light to money launderers and organised criminals. Where's the accountability? Where's the surveillance of them? Where's the attempt to stop those who can really help stuff up our society? Because, I mean, wouldn't you think if the drug dealers can go to the money laundering factory Sky City to clean up their dirty money, how's that not going to mean we're going to have more drug dealing, more problems with youth and all the rest of it, when at the top that they're just running rampant? How's that work?
Mm. Well, I imagine it works quite well for some people.
Well, I mean, there's more, all right? So I've just had a go at today at the Minister, Stephen Joyce, Mr Fix-It for money launderers and organised criminals, because that's how it looks to me. I've had a go at John Key. But what happened was I did an Official Information Act request to Auckland Council, because back on the 27th of June is when the Auckland Council had their governing body meeting, and what they were voting on was a submission to go into government on this International Convention Centre bill. And did the council actually support the idea of a new convention centre in relation to more pokey machines? And at that meeting, Mayor Len Brown spoke strongly and passionately, basically in favour of Sky City. But the vote was lost 10 votes to 7, so the majority of Auckland councillors didn't support it. But Len Brown, Mayor, was very much in favour of Sky City, and hold that thought and I'll come back to it. But then the digging that I did was, hang on a minute, I had checked, did my homework, and found out that, again, no reference whatsoever to the increased risk of money laundering as spelled out in the regulatory impact statement. Which says the potential risk of money laundering, and says cash-intensive industries such as casinos are attractive to money laundering activity. New Zealand's National Risk Assessment 2010 assessed casinos as presenting moderate to high risk of money laundering. For this reason, casinos, including all Sky City casinos, are subject to the Anti-Money Laundering and Countering Financing of Terrorism Act 2009, which comes into force on the 30th of June 2013. So, what they do is they go into a bit more detail there, and state, for example, the anonymity that can be associated with TITO, that tickets and tickets out technology, has the potential to facilitate money laundering by increasing the potential for currency refining and ticket structuring. In effect, this means that low-denomination notes could be fed into one or more gaming machine or kiosks and then be redeemed by ticket into high-denomination notes or casino checks. Increasing the use of TITO technology and raising the denominations that can be fed into a machine may therefore increase the potential for money laundering. Remember, Ofcans, whose job is trying to stop money laundering, has no information about TITO, tickets in, tickets out technology. Ugh, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, actually, it's totally believable, especially if you're incredibly cynical, like me.
Well, I guess so. But anyway, with my digging with Auckland Council, I did an Official Information Act request from HEL and got a response, and the essence of the response from Auckland Council was that staff had read the regulatory impact statement, but they thought basically it was someone else's job to do that. Well, we've just found out the ones who are supposed to do that, Ofcans, didn't. So here you have Auckland Council, in whose patch lives Sky City, and they've done no due diligence on the increased risk of money laundering either. And it gets even more exciting. On Monday, the 11th of November, at 12 noon, myself and fellow community activist Lisa Prager, we have a meeting with the Auckland District Commander, Superintendent Mike Clement. And the reason why we're having a meeting with the Auckland District Commander, the top cop in Auckland, is because I did an Official Information Act request to him as well, asking about the due diligence about money laundering. Because wouldn't you think Auckland Central Police, on whose patch is basically going to be this giant money laundering factory, don't you think that they, A, should have been consulted, or B, should have put their hand up? And I haven't yet had an Official Information Act reply, but Superintendent Mike Clements is very happy to talk to both myself and Lisa Prager, and this will be a sort of a brainstorming open discussion, and we will be going ballistic. Because wouldn't you think that, as I say again, that the safety, the health and safety of the majority of citizens of Auckland in the Auckland region, how are they best served by having a big fat money laundering factory right in the heart of Auckland City? How's that work? And it is my concern. And I was the fourth polling Auckland mayoral candidate. And I am not dropping the ball. In fact, I've got the ball tucked under my arm and I'm racing towards the try line, actually. And I think it's looking very good because people are starting to get it. And if we didn't have the opportunity of people like yourself, Vinny, I mean, the mainstream media just seems to be there's a huge, great big wet blanket over this, but eventually, when the genie starts getting out of the bottle, you know what I mean? It can't be contained. But that's why we need people like you and your show. And I'm so sorry about the death of Vapi Kupinga, because on Radio Wātea she used to give a wonderful opportunity for people to have a really good go on her show. But these, we've got to make the best of what we got and get that word out.
Yeah. I was just thinking about my auntie Vapi the other day. I mean, she's not really my auntie, but like when I was first starting out, like before I had my radio show and was just kind of like an activist on the street with the camera, you know, from back in the day, Penny. She kind of like bought me coffees at Circus Circus in Mount Eden. And Max Egan from Australia, he's kind of like the Vinnie Eastwood of Australia, I guess. He flew in and went and go picked him out of the airport, went and had a coffee at Circus Circus, and just reminded me of all these times Vapi had, like, you know, spent money on me, you know, bought me food and stuff because I was broke as a motherfucker, and she used to give me her son's hand-me-downs, I think some of which I'm kind of wearing right now, but, you know. So it really sucks when she brought me on radio for the first time, you know, sat in the studio at Wātea and co-hosted with her and that kind of thing. We go out afterwards and have some fun, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, the thing
it's
is
a shame
that
I didn't get to go to her funeral.
It's just how unbelievable is that? I mean, you know, John Duncan, who did such a marvellous job filming stuff, because, I mean, moments, if not captured in history, can be lost forever. and probably the most well-known bit of filming that John took of me asking Prime Minister John Key to his face at a Grey Power meeting whether he was personally profiting from New Zealand's growing indebtedness because he was a shareholder in the Bank of America. John filmed it, you turned it into a YouTube clip, and it has had some thousands of hits. But if John had not been there to film it, that would have been the end of that.
That's precisely right, and I do also comprehend that being there to film or just record audio in some cases can be sufficient to, if something really good happens, you know, it can go viral, and as long as it's nice and short and what have you.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, the thing was that and John Duncan and Vuppy, you know, they were acquaintances, and it just so happens that their funerals ended up being on exactly the same time, you know, day, and you can't be in two places at once, so, you know, and it's a real shame, but Radio Wātea rang me, and I gave a commemoration to Vuppy. But what occurred to me as I was saying, because often when you say stuff, it sort of, you know, it wakes up your mind. It's like, oh, my God, you know, Vuppy's going to leave a really big hole there because you can't buy that knowledge and experience and track record. And then I thought, oh, my God, I suppose arguably that could be said for me as well. It's like we need to bring the young ones up to speed so they don't have to sort of spend 50 years working out to be effective, like as an activist, do issue-by-issue politics. I mean, that's my big lesson for people. It took me 50 years. Well, you know, hopefully I can get to younger ones, so they don't have to spend all that time learning this really powerful truth, you know? That's it. I mean, you and I don't agree on everything, Vinny, but that's cool. We can have a civilised debate or we can park it. But to maximise unity, if everybody needs to agree with everything, you've got three people. Well, that ain't effective.
Yeah, it's quite divisive, actually. I mean, yeah. I think you just come together against the common enemy. You know, that's what I think. That's what the American revolutionaries did. They figured the common enemy was King George, with his scumbaggery and his taxation without representation. And most of the founding fathers, as I hear it, freaking hated each other.
Well, yeah, quite likely. But that is the thing that I mean. What was really interesting was,
Sorry, Penny. Actually, continue. We've got another 30 seconds. My bad.
Okay. But like on the Merrill campaign was on an issue-by-issue basis. Well, Stephen Berry, for example, from the Libertarians, I mean, normally we'd be on different galaxies on most issues. But, I mean, I think I prefer an honest right-winger to a phony so-called lefty.
I think you're right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Penny Bright. Coming to us live from Auckland, the Water Pressure Group. Waterpressure.wordpress.com is her website. Back in a minute, folks.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all. Superman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's only dedicated five-day-a-week talk radio show where you actually get to hear the truth that mainstream media will never, ever let you hear to the fullest extent possible. Not in a 30-second freaking soundbite coverage. God, mainstream media frustrates me. Penny, I was watching Channel 3 on Sunday morning.
All right,
The Nation, right? You know, the equivalent of Q&A that's on Channel 1. And you know what they were doing for the entire episode of The Nation? It was Michael Mora, who's like the Saturday night newsreader, reading a script and then introducing clips from other news agencies overseas. The whole show.
Yeah, Well, the thing that gets me is just this concept that New Zealand is the least corrupt country in the world, and I believe that we're probably one of the most corrupt countries in the world, to be honest, which is why, at the end of this month, it's my intention to go over to the Australian Public Sector Anti-Corruption Conference, which is being held in Sydney. I've got my accommodation sorted. I hopefully will have my airfare, have that sorted out tomorrow, and then I just have to raise $2,000 registration fee, and I hope people will help with that. It's just a little bit, you know, like a, yeah, I mean, that's 100 people giving $20. I mean, hello, how hard's that? Because if everyone, you'd be the same, who said, oh, you do wonderful work, we really like your work, sort of put a little bit of money where their mouth was, we'd probably be millionaires, Vinnie. But that's not why we do it.
Well, I think if we were doing it for the money, it would be probably one of the worst business decisions of all time.
Exactly.
Almost a worse business decision than repealing the Glass-Steagall Act.
Yes, indeed. I'd just like to make that point that lessons for activists, seriously, I think a lot of people, they get hung up in the process, like, oh, we got, you know, it's a number of people we get marching down the street, when what I'm looking is outcomes. Okay, you got 5,000 people marching down the street. What were you marching down the street for, and what did you get out of it? What did you achieve? Whereas, I mean, I know that, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm going to do, Penny? I'm going to get on the megaphone at the next protest and say, is anybody going to join me in my little scheme of marching up and down the square?
Yeah, good on you, Vinny. and this concept that some people get really hung up that, it's so individualistic of a couple of people organise something, because you haven't had a great big meeting organising it, you haven't sort of put the call out to thousands of people, that therefore you're only doing it, somehow you're just doing it for yourself because there's only a couple of you. And I'd like to give full credit to my friend Jax. If it hadn't been for me and Jax, when US Secretary of Defence Panata came over here, such a blur whenever he came out, we were the only ones that protested. We had four banners out there, and we were the only ones who picked up the ball and did anything on that. And then against the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, the day after day, it was just me and Jax mainly with, you know, two women, 10 banners, five back-to-back, right outside Sky City Convention Centre where the negotiations were taking place. And, thousands of people got to see the signs, but if we had not done that, if we hadn't seized the moment, nobody would have done it. So, you know, hell with these people with their silly ideas about, how to... It comes down to two words, and that's my good friend Sue Henry, and she said, right, whatever you do in life, two words, be effective. Be effective. And sometimes different tactics are more effective depending on the time, place and circumstance, but that's what it boils down to, be effective. But what I have learnt is the power of letting your banners do the talking. Hugely powerful. Again, people have got something to look at, but if you've got a leaflet to give out like we did yesterday, there will be ripples from that. Because when you start throwing boulders into the pond, ripples go where you don't see. And I tell you, that's a fact. You know, I know when I send stuff out by email, I know how it works because, at 30,000 feet, someone will say to the Prime Minister's office, did you know, that we received this? Are you aware of this? When I pot him for not doing due diligence on Sky City, and I send that out to over 500 Aussie media and to Transparency International branches around the world, sure as hell, somebody will get back in touch. They will. That's it. So, yeah, like I say, it's about
The answer is ultimately just to not do nothing in the first place. And secondly, make sure the thing that you're doing is targeted, right?
Yeah.
I mean, going out with a banner in the middle of the in the middle of Saturday or whatever when there's bugger all people round, it's a stupid idea. What if you're doing it on a weekday around about 4 till 5:30 in the afternoon when the most massive amount of traffic is going to be surging past you, you know? And this is something I've noticed about your style as well, Penny, is there's very specific times where you get optimal kind of coverage. And, you know, well, it's not rocket science, people. Yeah, well, it's just it's
being effective, you're trying to hit a number of different birds with the same stone. I mean, like, if the moment is recorded, because with any event, you organise something, you get three bites at the cherry, okay? Beforehand, you can put out pre-publicity, letting people know why you're doing what you're doing, alert them to it, and then send that far and wide. Then you have the event. And if it's captured by film, video, audio, whatever, then that gives you a chance to get that out. And then there's the after bit where you take whatever records you have from the day and send them far and wide. So even if it's just a little action, you can potentially, you can get just thousands and thousands of people. But the importance that I can't stress enough is the importance of focus and timing. And the other, I've said this before, but I think people, it's good to consider a triangle, that with anything you're involved in, think of a triangle where you broaden the base and you narrow the target, but the apex of that triangle, what do you want? What do you want? Why are you marching down the street? You know, what is the issue? What do you want? So you can be very clear with people, because I know, I've been on protest march where it's all been fluffy and blurry, and sort of why are people doing what they're doing? You're not very sure. Well, that's not my way. I think you need to be extremely focused, extremely targeted. And the other thing is, by doing that, you can also help to split and divide others. Because if you work on an issue by issue basis, people who might, you know, politically, well, you might be deadly and sworn enemies on some issues, but, you know, even a stop clock's right twice a day. So it may be that you're on the same page on that issue at that time. Well, why turn that person into an enemy on that issue when they're your friend? How dumb is that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my perspective is, unless somebody's like a full-on lying psychopath,
yeah.
I'll be fully open to being allies with them on whatever issue, because I know that they're not going to like stab me and leave me in the dark kind of thing. Even if they disagree with me or don't like me or something, they're not going to like wind up doing that kind of thing.
Well, hopefully not me. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but anyway, we'll back to the Sky City stuff. Is that people in New Zealand, because you can hardly miss it, know that after the Auckland mayoral elections, we've just been embroiled in this ongoing scandal where Mayor Len Brown was outed for having an extramarital affair for over 2 years. And initially, well, my view on that was that consenting adults make their own rules. And if your rules are based on monogamy and mutual exclusivity, if you breach that trust, there will be repercussions, and often they can involve innocent third parties like families, etc. However, when you're in public office, you are in a goldfish bowl where people can look in and see. And so the line that demarcates your rights to privacy as an individual and the public's right to transparency, because you're in public office, they get blurred. And the common sense test is, how would it look on the front page of the national newspaper? How would it look? And I think that Len Brown and others are finding it doesn't look too good. Are we going to have a break? Are we going to have a break?
Len Brown might have been too busy dipping his nuggets in some sweet and sour sauce.
Anyway, but the point is this, that so originally, I mean, that was my view, because the fact of the matter is, I do believe there should be enforceable codes of conduct so that we get some clearer guidelines. Okay, you lot, you're in public office. Now, you do need to behave yourselves, and you know, here are the guidelines. And if you, and there are consequences. If you're going to do stuff that breaches this code of conduct, then there will be consequences. So you need to think about it. But the problem is in New Zealand that local government politicians don't have an enforceable code of conduct.
Well, you know what they say. If you don't keep an eye on the scumbags, they're going to wind up perpetrating even more scumbaggery than you could ever conceive of by yourself. Scumbaggery that you'd never even dream of. You know why you'd never dream of committing such scumbaggery, ladies and gentlemen, is because you're not actually a ruthless criminal scumbag who wants to sell the country out. But the politicians you elect to represent you actually are. All right? Believe it. We've got the evidence to prove it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Second hour with Penny Bright coming right up. Gathering dust particles, funneling through smokestacks,
airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too bad. Check the labels. Oh, good, Vinny. But, yeah. I'll just...